There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the bill we got? I mean, the bill we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, 1207 FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile on this Wednesday, this glorious Wednesday out there. Glad to have you along. Another couple hours of live local talk that I'd love for you to take part in. The telephone number and the text line are the same. Lucky for us, efficiency. 251-343-0106. And remember, you can always leave me a talkback message using the FM Talk 106.5 app. Microphone icon on the front page of the screen. You record the message and it you mash the button, the microphone button, y'all, records a message. When you're finished, it emails it to the show and I can play it back here on the air. So you check those ways out and good old-fashioned emails and all kind of other stuff. Postcards, other correspondences are a welcome in the mix as well. All right, and as we get started today, too, yesterday's conversation, and we'll bring our first guest in on this. So yesterday's conversation, as we were talking about, you know, the big announcement from RFK that Jr. that was going to RFK Jr. going to make the announcement about who he was picking as his running mate, and we. Because this show is the show, we devolved into a discussion if it was going to be a living wrestler, which wrestler would it be? And that was good for about 70 different texts yesterday. We went through that. But it had been kind of leaked before after the Aaron Rodgers thing that it might be this Nicole Shanahan, and made the announcement yesterday, his running mate, Nicole Shanahan. And I'm going to ask this because my buddy here, the Flounder Pounder, Cameron Smith with AL.com, is a student of politics and history. Maybe he can help me. Is there a law? Is there a law, Cameron, that says you can't have two people with Irish surnames on a ticket? Is that a law that's ensconced anywhere?
Yes, actually, it's in Cotton. I have no idea, Sean. I have no idea.
Some kind of anti-Irish law. There has to be something out there that says you can't have a Kennedy and a Shanahan. You can't have a Fitzpatrick and a Sullivan on a ticket.
Can you imagine how long that bumper sticker is going to be?
It's just going to have to be RFKNS for president, I guess.
I like it. I think that could.
I'll lose you there. There you are. You're back. All right. So we talked a little bit about this in the past, but I keep bringing this up. Perot, right before he got out the first time. You know, he gets out, he's running for the presidency, and then something happened around his daughter's wedding or something, and then he got out, then he got back in. But he was polling around 30% at one point. This idea that a third-party candidate is nothing but a spoiler and has no chance, I mean, that was back then when people were more into, you know, I guess, Democrat or Republican. I don't know that RFK, I don't know about the Shanahan, I don't, you know what this Mick is up to, but... do they have a chance of making a difference here or actually winning?
Yes. And I can't believe that I'm saying that to it publicly to anyone. But I think that you're going to see him at least as effective as Perot, because people don't like the other candidates at the top of the ticket. And you might as well, it can be RFK Jr., but you might as well fill in protest candidate on the ballot. And I think there's going to be a lot of people who look at the other two and say, you know what? No. And end up voting for him. I think right now when he's polling around 20%, I think those numbers are going to go up. And I don't think Shanahan helps him much. I think it helps him in terms of money. But It's certainly not going to help him with the base Trump voter who's like, wait, who is this person? This is, oh, well, they don't seem very conservative or libertarian. And so it's a little bit of a surprising pick, but not so much insofar as he needs the money.
You know, yeah, and there'll be some cash flow there if y'all read up on Nicole Shanahan. But the other name, a couple names out there, they talked about Scott Brown. You know, if people remember Scott Brown from, how many was that, 10, 15 years ago in Massachusetts. Also that Trisha Lindsay, who is fighting vaccine mandates. And the one he had been floated around here that I wonder is she on the short list? I thought she was on the short list for RFK. People talk about her being on the short list for Trump. I don't think so. But that's Tulsi Gabbard. You know, I thought that would have been a bigger play than an unknown commodity like Shanahan.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think a Tulsi Gabbard RFK ticket is a wrecking ball to both Trump and Biden. Yep. I think in this scenario, what I'm looking at is actually this looks like more of a problem for Biden than Trump. And Trump said as much on his Truth Social account and said, I'm not running against this guy. Joe Biden's running against this guy. And by all accounts, it seems like Biden's gearing up to go after Kennedy because he recognizes that if Kennedy's a spoiler right now, he's a spoiler for Biden. I'm not saying that can't change. It's changed from end of 2023 to 24. But right now, he's a spoiler for Biden, and he's going to take a chunk. He just is.
Speaking of Trump, and we'll get to your opinion piece over at AL.com about the bloodbath comment. I agree with you. I think most sane people did when they heard that and realized how out of context it was taken. But let's talk about the this week. And what has happened for candidate Trump, former President Trump, gets a break on his bond amount, which I like you to have the kind of deep pockets where you go, well, I can't do this, but I can come up with $175 million for a bond. But the other part of it is, I keep saying this week, this sword has two edges, the same sword that has politically motivated moves in the judicial system against him, not that they all are, against Trump or the machine that attacks Trump constantly. It's the other side of that sword that lets a version of Twitter that I don't think is mechanically better than Twitter, it's just politically different, have a valuation of $4 billion, which $3 billion would be to the benefit of Trump. I mean, that beats the hell out of Trump Stakes or Trump University.
Yeah, that's called a meme stock. I mean, that's what we're looking at. That is value connected with Donald Trump and wanting to be affiliated with him. And it's why he's hawking Bibles. I mean,
yes, I've got that on my list today, too. Yes, he and Lee Greenwood, right?
Yeah, anything he's associated with, his core supporters are like, count me in. It doesn't matter whether it's those NFTs. It could be T-shirts, hats, you know,
the whatever.
Sneakers, yes. We've done it all.
The best of all of them, right? I mean, all those others you can go through and talk about these, the Trump marketing things. But the social media platform, True Social, with valuation at $4 billion is something that, I mean, Trump's tried to you know, go outside of real estate over the years. You look back, I mean, you look back 10, 20 years. He's like, okay, take the brand and do Trump Stakes or Trump University or whatever it is. It's either failed or been like, nah. This thing is at levels maybe that would rival real estate, if not best it. I mean, I would like to have, can I have Fonnie Willis come attack me? You know, can I have Letitia James come attack me so I can sell a social media platform for $4 billion, please? Please throw me in the briar patch.
We might as well call this just Trump stock. And what I mean by that is it's divorced from the underlying fundamentals of the business. I mean, Truth Social is not exactly taking off as a social media destination of choice. This is purely like, we want to throw money at Trump things because we want a piece of that action. And that's what they know. I mean, the folks that did this, they're smart, man. I mean, this was a very interesting business move. Now, the question for me is, okay, who gets hosed on this?
Yeah, I don't know.
At what point, who's left holding the bag? My guess is it's not going to be Devin Nunes, Donald Trump, and other investors. It's going to be, you know, the little guy that wanted to get in on the action. So maybe I'm wrong.
I'm looking for the dip. I mean, if it, you know, it was 67-something bucks when it opened yesterday, I'll try to buy the dip on it. We'll watch it. All right. Speaking of the machine against Trump, you wrote this, and people, you know, before they even text, they text a lot of times that why are you and I talking so much against Trump and you're not being fair to Trump? Let me point out that at this point you're pointing out why Americans don't trust media is exactly that machine that's aligned against Trump. Are you defending Trump here?
Yeah, it's weird. But in this context,
because it's
teach
truth,
our kids to, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I defend the truth. I mean, and that's really what I go for is, you know, what is real, because that's the game right now. Convince a lot of people of things that aren't true. And in this instance, the bloodbath comments, and we've seen this in cycle, and it happens actually more frequently than we like to admit, is Trump is a wandering talker. He starts and then picks up stuff. We all know that.
Yes.
But
yes.
We teach our kids to read context clues to get meaning. And in the instance where he mentioned the word bloodbath and the Biden administration or the Biden campaign jumped in on this, I mean, everybody was like, he said bloodbath. He's going to, like, kill everyone or something. I don't know what they were getting at, but it was something with white supremacy and Nazis.
Yes.
And death. And it was just all awful. And I said, okay, cool. I better check this out because this seems really, really serious. And then it was, well, we need to have more protectionist automotive trade policies. Otherwise, it's going to be a bloodbath.
Yeah, we're going to let China that own clear. Companies and make vehicles in Mexico and bring them using NAFTA across the border with no tariff. I mean, that he's talking business there.
Yes, it was trade, essentially trade and tax policy. I mean, that's what he's looking at of, please, you know, I think it would be awful for Americans if they can buy cheap Chinese cars made in Mexico. I disagree with him on the point. I think a lot of Americans are like, cars are stupid expensive and I'd like a cheap one. But that's a separate policy discussion. The bloodbath comment, it had nothing to do with, you know, well, guess what? If I lose this election, everyone's going to die. And, you know,
it was business. It was a business bloodbath. It was, I mean, I like you said, we teach our children to use context clues. You're telling me the editors at the New York Times or the news producers at MSNBC, they had no idea how to read in context? Of course not. So I wish people would pick that out, too, that are liberal and go, they're lying to you, y'all. They're lying.
They are lying. And this was the defense that I got back from people that read my pieces. They said, well, Trump knows.
Okay.
And I'm like, wait a minute. What does he know? So, oh, when he says bloodbath, he means the sinister thing. And that's how his acolytes take it. And so he's like speaking in code. This is the dog whistle thing. And I just, no, it's just no. No. I mean, if you're holding Trump accountable for the possible impacts, somebody could take something out of context. Well, then you and I are in trouble, too, because it's somebody could parse something from our discussions and say, oh, well, I should go do a bad thing. Well, OK, but no, that's not what we meant. And it's the same for Trump. People just say it's different because it's him, and it's not.
Yeah, if somebody says that, you know, we say, well, they're killing it there. That doesn't mean we want them to kill it. It's pretty interesting, too. Your responses are just the same as mine with things I got in email and then friends of mine that are not Trump fans. They said, what, Sean, you don't realize is that's the dog. I'm so tired of the dog whistle. I'm like, well, if no dogs can hear it, is it still a dog whistle? I mean, that same thing was thrown at me. What you don't realize, Sean, is you're being led to something by a dog whistle. I said, no, I'm in control of my faculties. I thought it was a discussion of a bloodbath in business. This is the best they can do. By the way, November's not far off.
Yeah, I think they're in. I think the left is in real trouble now. Look, I don't know if you noticed, but in Alabama, the state of Alabama is having a blue wave right now. In House District 10,
yeah, it's
up
a wave.
In Huntsville. Oh man, I mean, like 5,000, 6,000 people got out there and they just showed Republicans what's up. I mean, one, come on, Alabama GOP, like do a better job of get out the vote and help candidates like run better campaigns. But this is the kind of thing that the left is trying of, well, we're going to say Trump's a really, 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 really bad guy, which, okay, fine. But everybody's already made up their mind on that, right? Like you're not convincing a lot of swing voters that Trump's a bad guy who didn't already think that, right? And now the big issues are the economy and inflation and immigration. Like that's what voters care about. They don't have an answer for this. And their answer is basically, or their pitch is basically, well, the dogs and the bad people and Trump and Ronna McDaniel saying things on MSNBC, like we can't allow any of that. I don't think it's going to win because I don't think people like Joe Biden.
No, I don't either. And for those who keep telling me, and maybe I'll be wrong, that the date's coming up where they could switch out Biden and put another person in to run it instead. I don't know when that date is. Is it by the convention or before the convention or something like that? I still don't see it happening. I don't see the apparatus move. I think they're going to stick with Biden.
Not after the State of the Union. The State of the Union, even though it was, you know, he was shrill and kind of hollering and something about snacks and curing cancer, he did enough on his feet to say, see, I can do the Trump thing too. I mean, truthfully, that's actually what it kind of reminded me of, is this sort of meandering, wandering thing. And so I think he's going toe-to-toe, but Democrats have said all along, and they've never really deviated, that this is a vote on Trump. And in Biden's posture is going to be, democracy is under attack. Trump is super, super dangerous and bad. And they're going to hang their hat on that because, frankly, he can't run on inflation. I mean, telling voters prices are going to stay high, they're just not going to go much higher, much faster, is not a winner. And good grief, he can't run on immigration. I mean, his best immigration is, well, James Lankford had a bill and the Senate didn't take it up, so ignore all of the stuff I've done. And that's not going to play either. So, yeah, it's Donald Trump's super bad, and that's Joe Biden's campaign. Democrats, they really hate Trump, and they think that that's going to turn out their base, and they'll get the numbers. They might be right, but that's all they're going to run on.
You know, on the immigration thing, you can look at all these stats on the number of people that have, I think, what's it, 170 that are on the watch list that have they've caught crossing the border. I want to point out that the big story out there, too, you have under, I talked about that a couple of weeks ago, and I keep pushing this. I hadn't heard more on it, but we're looking for, if you had an Iranian assassin, an IRG member, Iranian assassin who's in the country hunting Bolton and Pompeo and others from the Trump administration to assassinate them. I'm sure that they did not clear, you know, customs in Atlanta or New Orleans or LaGuardia. How'd they get in? I mean, I'd keep pointing that out. We have an assassin that walked across the border looking to kill former government officials.
Yeah, they walk, Sean. Sometimes they swim. There's a lot of folks. If you're a nefarious actor going through a port of entry like a airport or a seaport or something like that, probably isn't what you're going to go with. And so we can see these numbers. We can look at them. And in fairness, some of them have come down, but they were extremely high. And these are the amounts that we were catching. There's a lot of gotaways. This is a loser for Biden. Like, on immigration, he's going to absolutely get pummeled. So you're not going to hear him talk a lot about this. The sort of not blue wave in Alabama is where Joe Biden and Democrats want to go and say, well, this is reproductive freedom. This is women's rights, abortion. Again, I've written a column about this and said, yes, the decision to have an abortion or not is a very serious, grave decision that faces folks. But in terms of where it is in the hierarchy of issues, it's way down the list because everybody's facing high costs at the groceries. Not everybody's facing that decision regularly. So it can be a little more out of sight, out of mind. Democrats hope it isn't, but I think they're going to be wrong on that.
All right, Cameron, before we even get to how they find you online, I want to point out, y'all, maybe you've seen some of the pictures, we'll have to put some more up on social media, that it was last week, met up with Cameron and family at the Lighthouse down the bayou for some seafood, and he ordered the flounder that was probably, y'all, a solid 3 pound, two and three quarter flounder. Cameron, you left nothing but the bones, brother. You are the flounder pounder. You're the flounder eating machine.
Yeah, I crush both sides, man. I mean, don't leave anything on that flounder. People sleep on the bottom side. I don't know why, but, you know, that side that's on the seabed, you need to eat that, too.
Yeah, you flipped it over and got all of it. I was truly impressed with your flounder pounding. Good work. People want to find out more about what you do for fun or what you're thinking. How do they find you online?
At D. Cameron Smith on X. You can go to al.com/opinion. Just Google me. I'm the handsome one. Go check out The Ballad of Davy Crockett, too. It's on Amazon and
Google, and
Apple and all those things.
Yes, check it out. You've gotten great reviews on the movie here on the text line as well. So the audience likes it as well as they should, and hopefully they'll check it out this weekend.
All right. Thanks, Sean.
There he goes. Cameron Smith, and we're coming right back. More of Midday Mobile.
is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:27, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Looking at, we'll get to a lot of these texts here probably after the news. This one from Jason, though, I like. So I like a lot of these texts, but I'm going to point this one out right now. It's a picture of some speed enforcement going on. This right there by the home of the Impalas, St. Ignatius. Jason says, seems like Chief Prine was taking note the other day. MPD's been hammering speeders in the area, and I'm glad. You know, this is one of the joys of doing what I do for a living, is when we facilitate this kind of one-on-one between, we've done it with the sheriffs and police chief and people in the emergency services area, and having these people on the air, and then y'all text in or call in and say, hey, I'm having an issue with so-and-so, or why does so-and-so work this way? And you get to talk directly to the person, and y'all give tips and stuff, and then to see it come full circle and something change about public safety or policy out there, it's a good thing. So, Jason, I'm glad you were not the only one, Jason. There's several people who had texted about the speeding in that area, and, you know, a lot of kids there. Obviously, it's a school, so, yeah, they do listen. They do listen, I'm just happy to be, you know, a conduit here between y'all and the people who can make a difference in that. Let's see. It's Squirrel Vereen, which, by the way, Squirrel Vereen, if I'm mispronouncing, because what did Jeff call you today? Squirrel Vereen? I go like Wolverine, right? But Squirrel Vereen. That's, I think I'm right, but correct me if I'm wrong. Maybe Jeff has got it correct. Said Tulsi wouldn't go against Trump at this point. She did in 2020, but wouldn't now. She wouldn't be in the league. She wouldn't be in league completely with RFK anyway. You know, a lot of people wouldn't be in league with RFK. There's some things about, yeah, there's a lot of people on the right, they'll say, RFK, RFK, RFK. You need to look through everything that RFK stands for and see if it is better, you know, better balanced for you than Trump or somebody. You know, it's just because he is the third party candidate, which has always been interesting to me, like I said, from being a Ute and being all excited about Perot back in the day, the giant sucking sound. And let me put it up on the whiteboard. I loved Perot when I was a young man. I really did. But you got to make sure that how much of that lines up with, you know, just because they're kind of the different one doesn't mean politically they line up. But I've never seen anybody, a politician that I was 100% aligned with. If I get to 70, 75%, it's pretty good stuff, huh? So, yeah, just check it out. Look at the platforms. But there's probably some law that's going to keep two people with Irish surnames off the ballot anyway. So, something like that. News is next. Be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Adult, we need to file that one, that last one there, for a highlight reel for a man. By the way, speaking of public service announcements, you can email, like if you got a charity, right, something charitable going on with your church, civic group, school. Anything that my friend Charlie Moss can put calypso music or like reggae music behind to make it kind of a Caribbean themed, even though it's right here in Alabama, you send it to Charlie at fmtalk1065.com. Great dude. Does our public service announcements, and, you know, we're down with that. You got local things going on. You want to, you know, raise some money, helping out. We're going to help you out. So Charlie at fmtalk1065.com. He'll probably, like it says in his little thing that runs here on the station, to tell you to put the who, what, when, where, how contact info and all that in it, and he'll get it turned around and probably put some kind of calypso music behind it, which is refreshing. I like it. Just good stuff. All right, to the text line at 343-0106. Let's go first to Damn Yankee, which I don't know, it was not a member of the Damn Yankees, I don't think. Just the Damn Yankee. Damn Yankee, where are you from originally? By the way, hit us up on the text line. Where in Yankee land are you from? Says, I'm expecting the left/Democrats to drop some type of bombshell in October. You know, it's always been the October surprise in the past, right? But I think the problem is we are so polarized. The problem for October surprises is that people are so polarized in their politics now. I don't know what... I guess the only thing could keep people from like going to the polls, but like changing, I really don't know what's out there. You know, in the past when we had kind of different kind of candidates and different kind of support out there, October surprises could make a difference. I don't know, damn Yankee, what could be dropped in October that would really make a difference. I really don't. But listen, life surprises me every day. More and more every day that goes by. As I get older, I'm more surprised. He goes on to say they're desperate because their strategy to jail Trump has not worked. Listen, like I said to Cameron, I said to y'all yesterday, kind of throw me in that briar patch. If it pays off with, you know, a $4 billion, you know, valuation of a social media platform that is not, and this is not picking on True Social. It's just like, it's not the little bit I've looked around on it. It's not like it's better. It's not a better mousetrap than Twitter X. You know, it's not, it's just politically different. So he just did his own brand of that, and is, and that shows that same attack machine that goes after Trump is the inverse of that, is that people support valuing up like a much less used Twitter for $4 billion. I'll take that any day. That's, I think it's probably, I keep harping on it because I think it's one of, if not Trump's best business move ever. You think if he's right in order of the deal too, he says, okay, tell you what you do is you get a bunch of people out there coming after you and therefore coming after people that identify with you. And then you start a social media platform and then people value it because they want to say, bite me to the people on the left. It's genius. It's genius. All right. Adam says, Sean, nothing the press says surprises me. Oh, I got a story that might surprise you later. Surprises me are how much it's geared towards the lowest common denominator. As example, yesterday, one of the news feeds that I heard talking about the bridge collapse, and it ended with the comment that traffic in all lanes was shut down. Duh. Really? They did that? Like as a, like now it's shut down? Because on the traffic shutdown thing, that's pretty funny, Adam, if that's how it rolled out. Sadly funny, because, I mean, people died. But the people that didn't die, and Dalton and I were talking about that this morning, I think it's really something. You're talking about public safety. So the way, and I'm paraphrasing here, just off the top of my head, not reading a story, although I may be able to get one open in time here, that the Mayday goes out from the ship, okay? The Mayday goes out, and in what, a minute's time or 90 seconds time, from the Mayday going out to the police there shutting down the bridge, traffic for it. And the only thing I can guess, as we talked about this morning, is they were doing construction on the bridge, right? So you probably had it, I'm just guessing, this is all guessing here. You had it, we're down to one lane. You know, maybe you have, and so you probably had Baltimore, as they call it up there, they don't even pronounce the T, Baltimore's finest on either end of the bridge, and probably letting, it's all speculation on my point right now, but letting one lane go and then the other lane go. So you had public safety, you had law enforcement there on either end of the bridge. The fact that the radio, which they would have probably been monitoring 16, right, or whatever their inter-harbor communication on the VHF is at Baltimore Harbor, that goes out and gets to the police scanners fast enough. Does it go directly to the scanners? Does it go to switchboard? I don't know, but that they say that this, because it was dark, maybe they couldn't see it, that the word went out, Mayday, and they got the bridge closed before more people would have been on. And that's one of these takeaways that's pretty amazing. As we start to go through this, probably find out more. That's a heck of a story. You know, that the communication went from the ship saying Mayday to getting to the, I guess, and once again, I'm guessing, from the dolly, from the helm there of the dolly, going through Mayday, boom, gets to the law enforcement on either end of that bridge, the Francis Scott Key Bridge, and shuts it down. It's pretty awesome. Okay, here it is. Okay, I got this is from the story. This is from Yahoo News. Said, with a huge runaway cargo ship bearing down on one of Baltimore's, a harbor's busiest bridges, local police had just moments to react to a last-ditch Mayday call from its crew. Stopping the drifting container ship Dolly was impossible, but officers could still try to prevent drivers from heading into what was about to become a death trap. Is a quote from, okay, they were going to this website, Broadcastify. And there are these websites out there where you could follow police scanners from around the country, not just in your town. It said, This is police radio excerpts published by Broadcastify. Hold all traffic on Key Bridge. There's a ship approaching that just lost their steering. So until they get that under control, we're going to stop all traffic. And end quote. That was from an officer. Can be heard saying that on police radio. They go back in the story here and say, as his colleagues shut down the highway, an officer can be heard referring to the nighttime repair workers already on the bridge, six of whom were declared missing by officials in the disaster. The officer said, if there's a crew up there, you might want to notify whoever the foreman is, see if we can get them off the bridge temporarily. End quote. But it was too late. Then the next message comes from the dolly. As the dolly slamming into the bridge, it said the whole bridge just fell down. Start, whoever, everybody, the whole bridge just collapsed. So we have people dead in this, but you got to believe that quick communication and somebody making a decision right then saved people, absolutely saved people. So it's a heck of a story. So that was interesting to me. So and thanks for the text. Get me started on that. Let's see. Oh, Big Enos. Big Enos says, hey, Sean, are you sure Biden didn't fly the assassin in with the rest of the aliens? He could have paid his fee and then have plausible deniability if he was successful. I don't think so, Bigginess, but it does point out, I mean, remember the story came up, FBI was looking for this guy down in Florida. I mean, he's not like a lone wolf or these kind of things. This is a guy that works for the IRG. He's like one of their assassins. And FBI says, oh, by the way, he's in the country. And he's trying to recruit other people to take part in the assassination plots. I think John Bolton. And while I'm no John Bolton fan, I don't want John Bolton to be killed. I would like John Bolton to stop sending sons and daughters into every war he sees. But I don't want anything physically to happen to him. Mike Pompeo on that list, several others. This is, you know, on this assassins, as they said, it's revenge for the drone attack on Soleimani, right? Qasem Soleimani. That they're operating. So where did he come through? You know, and I don't make my whole show about illegal immigration in the border. I mean, there's some people in my business that do. I talk about it. We go up to Washington sometimes, do those symposiums. But I don't spend my whole show doing this. But this is a one where you can point at something very specific and say, how the hell did the guy get in? You know, he didn't come through Hartsfield Field there, right? No. He walked across a border somewhere. David says on the text line, the only time we went to Disney World as kids, my dad ate the shrimp tails from my sister's lunch because they were that expensive. Listen, water at Disney is that expensive, David. So Cameron doesn't have to do that all with the flounder. You should have seen him, and I think we put some pictures up maybe on the Instagram feed. Cameron and his family were vacationing down Dolphin Island. Didn't have time to get them out to go fishing like we do sometimes, but I arranged them to, they said, oh, yeah, we're eating some seafood. I said, hey, go see my friends. Let's go see my friends at the lighthouse in the bayou. If y'all want to taste real seafood, it's right on time. Dr. White. Hey, Dr. White says the ABBA is doing MMA June 1st and August 10th. Okay, well, that's, once again, like I described earlier, as I get older, my life is stranger and stranger. For me to remember something happens, remind me mid-May about that, Dr. White. Let's see here. CB Carl said, I wasn't able to text yesterday. Okay. So I'd like to. Now, you can't do this. We've now got Shanahan as the running mate for RFK. But because in deference to my friend CB Carl, I will read it. He said, I wasn't able to text yesterday, so I'd like to ask my wrestler, add my wrestler to the list for VP. Hacksaw Jim Duggan. He was always USA proud. Plus, he would be good on the international stage. Remember when he got busted smoking dope? The Russian on the beach in Pensacola after the matches. That's today's detente. There you go. I think the Shanahan thing brings money to RFK. I don't think it brings new people to the mix. Honestly, I think if he'd gotten some kind of celebrity thing, and I wish that wasn't the way, but that is the way of our politics today, get some kind of celebrity to run with him, it would have been bigger. Let's see here. Dirt Digger says it'll be great when Trump wins in November. He tells Biden, you're fired. And when we, the people, have spoken. All right. Question of the month from the text here. So who gets a new... Okay, I see where you're going with this. Who gets a new bridge first, Mobile or Baltimore? I don't... If I'm putting money on this, I think the I-10 Mobile River Bridge project, I know they had talked about 2028. And I know I can't gamble in the state of Alabama, and I'm being monitored, I'm sure, by the AG's office. I would say we don't get it done by 2028. So maybe Baltimore gets one before Mobile. Yeah, and I heard the discussion during Jeff's show saying, well, what we need is something to hit the Bayway, a ship to hit the Bayway. I mean, y'all do. Like, you can't get a ship, you know. Even if you use Devil's Cut coming up there on the Tensaw, you can't get a ship close to the Bayway. But what they're talking about is what happened in Pensacola, right? When you have a hurricane destroy that structure, get the federal money to rebuild. We have talked about this over the years. What would happen if the Bayway was destroyed by some kind of natural occurrence, act of God? Then you would have federal financing coming in at a higher rate to fix it. But that didn't happen in any time soon, so I wouldn't hold your breath on that one. All right, coming back, a lot more text to get to, but so many more stories here, too. I am going to talk about this P. Diddy thing, because it is this is Epstein creepy stuff, as more names are coming out of this. So we'll get into that here in just a couple minutes.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:52 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Cool story here to tell you about, too. So, I guess we were at the Wharf Boat and Yacht Show. I was talking to my buddy Forrest with Blue Water Yacht Sales, which, by the way, they've got incentive pricing right now through the end of the month, and maybe even further on their 2024 offshore and inshore boats with brands like Regulator, Jupiter, Albemarle, Bull's Bay, and Solace. But he and I were talking about the Solace boats. He said, you got to check these out, Sullivan. I said, okay. And he sold me on this. So, Bob Darty, who started Solace Boats, is one of these stories. I think if you're a boat freak like me, you know there's these brilliant shipwrights, right? These people that build great. Bill Kenner is one of those guys, right? They start one company, build an awesome boat, then they sell that company, make a lick, good for them, capitalism, rah, rah, rah. Then they take their brains and go and do it again with another boat, another design that doesn't impede on their contract with the company they sold to. They do this again and again. It's the genius of the builder. And by the time you get to the second or third iteration, they're at their peak in building boats. So when he said the Solace boat, he said, it's Bob Darty. And I'm like, I know who that is. This is the guy that like put Boston Whaler on the map, right, with those boats. Then he went out and founded Edgewater Boats, right, which became, and then Everglades Boats, which you know those boats. So this guy has been making these great boats, selling the companies. His latest, though, is not only brilliant, but it's just completely different. They're called Solace Boats, and they're on site at Blue Water Yacht Sales here in Mobile and at Orange Beach. If you go Google, go to bluewateryachtsales.net, you can see more and look at the pictures of these Solace boats. There's all kind of stuff, let alone the design. It's fiberglass and carbon fiber. Okay, so they can make the boats lighter, but bigger. So you can go faster, less fuel consumption, but have a very strong boat. And there's all kind of things they have, like in the way the boat works. They're even built ready to go for one of those those gyro stabilizers, right? Like a Sea Keeper. They're already set up for it, so you can put those in. But they have all kind of extras on here that make the boat run great, and then make it like the cool oh wow stuff. So go on there and look at it. Solace Boats is really next level stuff in offshore fishing boats, and they're on site at Blue Water Yacht Sales. You can check them out right here in Mobile. They're on the Beltline, I-65 Beltline, and you can see them at Orange Beach Marina or online at bluewateryachtsales.net. Go see what I'm talking about. This guy, Bob Darty, is just amazing, kind of like a Bill Kenner thing. Go see the boats and see what is on the lot with special incentives on those boats right now at Blue Water. All right, let's see here. I get a few more texts here, and then I got to get to, we might have to carry Diddy in the next hour, but I've got Erica Thomas, too. Maybe we'll have Erica Thomas from 1819 News react to the Diddy story. Dr. Barragana says, if the bridge identifies as transgender, then we'll get it first. Yeah. it wouldn't identify as transgender. It would identify like as a, you say, well, that's a bridge. I said, no, it's a road. It feels like it's a road. It really does feel like it's a road. It feels like it's a train track.
And be like, yeah, but that's a bridge. Yeah, it's a train track. Ben says, was anybody else shocked at how fast the bridge fell? I've seen bridges demolished with explosives that took longer to fall. You know, that structure, it absolutely, I mean, once you could see how integral every piece was to the other, right? You take out one of those supports there, the legs, and the whole thing collapsed on it. I saw that, Ben. It was something. I did hear some people, I think, this morning talking during Jeff's show about other bridges. I know this on the plans for the I-10 Mobile River Bridge. And I think we talked about that with State Senator Chris Elliott the other day, too. Those uprights would be outside of the channel, actually outside of the water. So you couldn't have something like this happen. And you see a lot of bridges now that are built like that, to the chagrin of fishermen, right? Because we like to fish the bridge legs, although you get in trouble, I think, at Perdido Pass doing that. These new bridges built where there's nothing to hit inside. The ship would go run aground before it would hit a structure. But that's an older bridge there, so... yeah, that situation on that one. David, RFK Jr. should have selected Aaron Rodgers as his running mate. Rodgers won't have anything to do after September because he'll already be out of the NFL playoff picture. Okay, I guess that's some kind of hot NFL. I am so stupid with NFL stuff. David, I know there's a bunch of people probably laughing or, he got him. I guess he'll be out of the, I don't know. I mean, that seems like a long way away. I pay attention, maybe. After college football is when I start paying attention to pro football. I know Dalton's probably throwing stuff at me through the door. Trey says maybe we need to figure out how to shove a freight ship into the Wallace Tunnel. Maybe we'll get that bridge sooner. Now, come on. I did think about that, though. As you look at and there's been a couple stories up on what traffic may come into the Port of Mobile because it can't go into Baltimore. And I think there's some car manufacturing. I don't, and maybe we'll get my friend Rick Clark from the port on to talk more about that. But you do look at the situation there, the fact that we have a tunnel, you know, that didn't have, because if we would have built a bridge when we built the Wallace Tunnel, it would be the kind of bridge that the Francis Scott Key Bridge was, right, with the uprights out in the channel. So we had a tunnel. We don't have that issue. And if they build the bridge they're talking about, which I don't think is going to be done, hopefully in my lifetime, but I hope to be very old, we don't have that issue. And we won't, I guess, with a bridge that doesn't have uprights in the channel or anywhere near it. So let's not hit it. Let's not hit any tunnels, Trace. Come on. 12:58, coming right back. Hour number two of Midday Mobile, straight ahead.